Welcome to Souls Harbor's weekly podcast. We believe that God has called us to lead people into a relationship with Jesus Christ, help them grow to be like Jesus, and involve them in reaching lost people. Listen now to this week's message.
If you have your Bibles this morning, grab them and turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Starting a series this week, Time, God, and Me. Kind of looking forward to preaching this. I suppose I should look forward to preaching every week, and I do, but sometimes just more so than others. If you have your Bibles there, follow with me. I'm going to read this morning Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I'm going to read verse 1, and I'm going to read verse 17. Verse 1, "For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven." You want to jump down to verse 17. It says, "I said in my heart, God will judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time for every matter and for every work." Let's pray. Father, one more time we come to you and we ask you, God, for you. I ask that you step into this service one more time. And I pray, Lord, the message that this week you've burned in my spirit, now help me to just simply step out of the way and let your Holy Spirit preach it. And teach it, God. I pray today that you would prepare the minds and the hearts of everybody sitting here, and I believe you've been doing this all week, God, to receive what you have for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me ask you a question, and it's a deeper question than it may seem on the surface, and it's this: what is time? What is time? Some would say it's the tick-tock of the second hand on a clock moving. Some would say that it is the movement of the sun on its axis, the sun rising and setting. Some would say it's the movement of the sun around, or the earth around the sun, giving us the seasons. Time is one of those things, now think about this with me, time is one of those things we divide, we track, we count, we manage. Do a Google search or an Amazon search on time management. You'll get about a bazillion hits, I promise you. But what is it? What is time? St. Augustine, one of the early church fathers, and this is my paraphrase of his quote, but he said, "I knew what time was until you asked me to define it." And as I thought about this week, and as I prepared what God, I believe God wanted me to share, that kind of resonates. I know what time is. I could explain it to you until you asked me to actually do it. One of the questions I ask every week as I prepare to preach, and I don't always put it right out here in front for you, but I ask myself this question every week is, why should they care? Because I happen to believe this about the Word of God. I believe it ought to be very practical. I believe it ought to make sense in my life. I believe it ought to make a difference in my life. I believe it ought to be something, and the Word of God being preached ought to be something that I actually care about. And I ask this question, why should they care about what is time? And the answer to that is because every single one of you, y'all look at me this morning, every single one of you at some point in your life, maybe even today, have said, there's not enough hours in the day. Fair, right, true? I don't have enough time. If you didn't say it, I promise you, you felt it. And it doesn't matter, this is one of those things that crosses all ages, okay? It doesn't matter whether you're very young or very old, it doesn't matter. This is one of those things that hits every single one of us. If you're that young adult who's working a job, trying to care for a relationship, perhaps a marriage, trying to take care of your kids and keep them under control and love them and have a relationship with them. If you're that in that young adult place in your life and you're working on getting that education and you're working on going to work every day and working on taking care of a family and paying the bills, anybody? Then you've said it. I don't have enough time. There's not enough hours in the day. It's also true of the middle-aged couple that maybe is sitting here this morning. Your kids are grown or teenagers or out of the house, empty nesters, but all of a sudden you've become the manager. You've become the responsible one on your job. You've become the responsible one in society. You've become the one that has to put in now, not the long hours because you need the hours to pay the bills, but now you put in the long hours because you're the one that's responsible and the boss, and it takes a lot of hours, and you're still trying to care for your marriage and care for your home, and you're trying to keep your relationship with your kids and maybe now your grandkids alive, and they're battling the same battle. They don't have enough time. Does this make sense to anybody? Anybody ever lived here? Every day? Middle age, you might even be at the place, I'm kind of there now. Not only are you caring for all the things you're caring for, but now in this society, in our culture today, you're likely caring for an elderly parent, quite possibly. And then you become a senior, and you retire, and you have all the time in the world. And I hear the chuckles. I don't know about you, so I shouldn't assume, but I suspect this is a human condition. But I will tell you, for me, and I haven't retired yet, although I actually am a little excited about it. I'm a year away from being able to get that senior's discount. Yes. When life gives you lemons and joy, it makes lemonade, right? I asked somebody the other day, when you get a senior's discount, do they make the portion sizes smaller? I found out they did, and I'm like, well, that's not right. Where's the discount then? So I'm going to have to figure out who truly does that and who doesn't and choose where I go to use it. But I did find this to be true, that the older I get, the slower I have to move, and things don't work as fast as they used to. And what I used to be able to do in 30 minutes now is an hour. Now, I don't know about you all, but it's not only physical, it's mental. It's just the truth. And I don't know how many seniors I have heard say to me, I don't know how I ever had time to work a job because I'm so busy in retirement. See, this hits everybody. It also hits the elderly. An elderly can be 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, or 100, but it hits that person that is within sight of the end of their life, and they look back on the years that they lived and they say, where did all the time go? And I want you to watch this video with me this morning and see if it doesn't resonate and connect a bit with what I'm talking about. What is time? And here's the other piece of it for us. How does God want me to deal with it? Listen, let me just be upfront with you here a little bit. I'm going to ask you to think this morning really harder than I normally do on a Sunday morning. Not that I don't ask you to think every Sunday morning, but this morning a little more maybe than normal. And I need you to hang with me for a little while, because when we get about 2/3 of the way through this message, we're going to hit pay dirt. But I need to talk about time for a few minutes. And this thing of what is time, it's not just an academic question. I hope you get that at this point this morning. It's not just an academic question. But I do want to start with some foundational stuff. So I need you to connect with me. I need you to check in here. I need you to hang with me for a few minutes. I'm going to ask you to think through some things. Don't tune me out and say, Pastor Barry's gone off the deep end. He's flaky. He's lost it. He's crazy. I might have lost it, I don't know, but I'm not flaky and I'm not crazy, so just stay with me this morning. Some people would define time by the clock, 24 hours. I actually talked with a few of you this week about this. It's the passing of the clock, it's the movement of the hands. But let me ask you a question. Here's the thinking part. What if all the clocks in the world were no longer here? Would time still be a thing? You say, yeah, it would still be a thing, Pastor Barry, because we'd still have the sun that would rise and set. So, okay, that's fair. That's actually a really thought-through answer, and I hope Maybe you kind of went there, but so clocks are all gone, but we have the sun that rises and sets, so we see our days, our 24-hour days. We have the cycle of the moon and seasons and all of that. But what about this? Just imagine with me, okay? Y'all go with me for here for a minute. What if you were on a ship, a spaceship, and you left our solar system, way on the way by Mars, right? On out into the middle of nowhere between solar systems, where you couldn't even see the sun or the earth, and there was no revolution around the sun, there was no revolution of the earth. So out there in the middle of nowhere, is time still a thing? Is it? I sat yesterday for a little bit with some of the people that were working on a remodel back there. And Joel, I think it was, made the comment. He was telling me about a show that he watches. I assume maybe him and Brenda watch, about people in the far north, like Arctic, way up where the sun doesn't set and doesn't rise for 6 months. Can you imagine that? I don't want to, but anyway, there really is places on this earth where that's the case. And he said, this is, we were just talking this through, and he said, this is what they said. He said, I caught this. He said, one of the men up there that lives up there, he said, you know, I don't pay any attention to time. He said, I get up and I go work and I quit when I'm tired. And I go to sleep, and I sleep till I'm rested. And he said, time means nothing. There is no rising or setting of the sun. I said, clocks just aren't a big thing up here. He said, when I'm hungry, I eat. When I'm not, I don't. I thought, wow, that would be a very different way to live. I mean, we've all got 14 clocks in our house. At least at my house, we don't have 14, but we have a bunch. So what is time? How about this? And this is where I need you to stay with me for just a minute. Scientists, if I can go there for a minute, theologians, remember there's pay dirt to this, so hang with me. Theologians, scientists, philosophers, there's a growing sense that time is maybe just the way we perceive something as opposed to a reality. Now stay with me here. Let me see if I can illustrate this, okay? How many of you have ever rolled up to a train track in your car and a train was passing? Hopefully you stopped, right? Have you ever sat there and watched the train go by and had that moment? And I have to be really careful with this, because shortly after I have this moment, I get violently nauseous and vomit, and it's never pretty in my car. But have you ever sat there as the train rolled by and you watched the train and there came a moment where all of a sudden you felt like the train wasn't moving, but rather you were? Have you ever had that experience? And if you're like me, seriously, you get motion sickness really bad. It's a perception thing. Scientists, theologians, philosophers, there are those that begin to think that maybe what we call time is really just our perception of reality. It's like we have that moment. Now, the train really exists, and the car really exists, and I really exist. I'm not saying that time doesn't exist, but maybe it's not that thing that we think it is. Maybe it's more of a perception thing. Let me see if I can illustrate this a little bit, okay? Imagine with me a stack of papers. A stack that's nice and neat and set on a desk. Y'all still with me? Let me show you what time maybe is. Time maybe, not the clock, not the sun, but time may be the way that simply existence moves from what's called order to disorder. It moves from organization to chaos. It moves from birth to decay. It moves from life to death. Okay, this is just the way the universe works. So stay with me here for a minute. Okay, if you can imagine a stack of papers set nice and neat on a desk, and the desk is in a room, and we leave the room and we go out and we shut the door, and for the next 100 years, nobody touches the papers. There's no intelligence that takes place, that happens on the papers. The papers are just there. And 100 years from now, we come back and we open the door and we come in and we see the papers have scattered all over the place. Now, if you've really thought this through, you're not going to be terribly shocked, because you're going to realize over 100 years, the wind's blown, right? Earthquakes may have happened. Trucks have driven by, but you're not going to be surprised if the papers are scattered a little bit after 100 years. You know, the bricks are going to fall off the building, and the walls may come down. You're not going to be surprised. But what if we took those papers and we set them on the desk and they were all scattered out? And we left for 100 years and we came back 100 years later and you walked in the room and there's no intelligence involved in this whatsoever, okay? No intelligence, just the wind blowing and the earthquake and everything happening. You come back. Would you be surprised if you came back and saw those papers all pulled together in a nice, neat stack? Things always move from order to disorder. Right? Organization to chaos. Let me give you another example. How many of you have cars? You go get in your car, you go out and you drive, and you have a four-hour trip. You drive 4 hours there, you drive 4 hours back. You're not surprised when you roll into your driveway and look at the gas gauge and realize it's moved to empty, are you? You've burnt gas. You've moved from order to disorder. You've moved from life to death. You've moved from what I had to what I don't have. But would you be shocked if you rolled into your driveway after driving for 4 hours and look down at your gas gauge and realized it was empty, but now it's full? Anybody? See, maybe time is a perception, not so much of things, a hand moving around a clock or the sun around the earth around the sun, but maybe it's our perception of life, of things, of the universe moving from chaos or from order to chaos, from life to death, from full to empty. You say, but then, Pastor Barry, are you saying that when I go to the gas station and I put my pump in my gas tank and I fill it up with gas, I'm reversing time? No, I'm not saying that, because you might be putting gas in your car, but you know what you are also doing? You're emptying the tank in the ground at the gas station. Y'all with me? How about this one? How about biologically? Are you ever surprised when somebody is born and lives and then dies? I'm not. Are you surprised? Ruthie pulled up a picture of me and my grandson Gage yesterday, and it was on Facebook, one of those pop-up things. It was, you know, fun. She said, hey, look at this picture of you and Gage 5 years ago, I think it was. She said, look. She holds it up to me. She says, look how little he is. I said, yeah, they really grown fast. She says, you were a lot younger then, too. Really? Thanks, honey. We're not shocked to see pictures of ourselves and realize the wrinkles have came and we've gotten older, but we would be very shocked to pull up a picture 10 years ago and realize, huh, I've gotten younger today than I've ever been. Either one of two things happened. Either a miracle's taken place or somebody's had really good plastic surgery. Right? What is time? Time is that movement from death or life to death. How about this? Just throw this in as an aside. Think about this with me for a second, okay? We know that Jesus' death and resurrection, we know that his resurrection was a really big thing, right? I mean, that doesn't happen very often. But do you realize in that moment, God actually stepped in, and what we perceive as time, God actually stepped in and reversed the order of things, the order of time. God actually stepped in that moment, and he reversed what all of creation has done, moving from order to disorder, life to death. He stepped in, and Jesus all of a sudden went from death to what? Wow. We don't catch that sometimes, that it's actually a time thing, or at least the way we perceive time. What is time? Y'all still with me? Hang in there, okay? We're coming to a payoff. Think about this, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created what? The heavens and the earth. And we know that the heavens weren't just the sky and the clouds above. When God created, he created all the universe. He created the place where the stars hang. And from that moment that God created the heavens and the earth, what happened? Time began. When God created the universe, he created time. But now think with me for a second, okay? Let me just the last thing to kind of make this stick, I hope, of what time really is. It's that movement from life to death. When we get to eternity, you all believe in eternity, right? Heaven? We know that time isn't going to exist in eternity. That's why we call it eternity, right? Right? That's why we call it eternity. But how does Scripture describe eternity? Think about this with me, y'all. Don't disconnect, all right? How does Scripture define eternity? It's a place where there's what? There's no death. There's no decay. There's no destruction. There's no movement from life to death because it's life forever. Isn't that what eternity is? This idea that we have that time is a clock or 24 hours in a day is just not completely accurate. I'm not saying time doesn't exist, but it's how we measure that movement of life to death. Joel asked me yesterday, he said, Pastor Barry, they say that the sun is getting smaller, but why can you never see it? And the answer is, it is getting smaller. It's burning itself out. It's moving from life to death, but we don't see it because it takes so many millions of years. But if you could come back in a million years, it would be dark. But in eternity, that's not the case. What we perceive as time is not about the tick-tock of the clock or the movement of the earth around the sun. It's not about 60 minutes in an hour, 24 hours in a day, 7 days in a week, 365 days in a year. Time is simply how we perceive the movement of all things from order to disorder, birth to decay, life to death. Now let's get to the payoff, okay? Y'all ready for some payoff? You did really well with hanging through all that stuff. And so let's get to some payoff. Here's the thing. It's not time that we don't have enough of. It's life we don't have enough of. Say that again. Some of this y'all need to write down. Not because I'm saying it, because I believe the Holy Spirit gave it to me, and it will change your life if you get this. It's not time that we don't have enough of. It's life that we don't have enough of. Time, now get this, time doesn't pass, we pass. We think time is passing us by, it's not. It's not time that's passing, it's we that are passing from life to death. My friends, that changes everything. Everything. Say, what do you mean? Well, okay. If it's time that I lack, let me just ask you, how many of you, put your hand up, be honest with me. I have thought or said, I don't have enough hours in the day, or I don't have enough time. How many of that's really where you're at? Okay. If it's time I lack, you know what I work on? Time management. Rather than life management. If it's time that I lack instead of life that I lack, I work on time management rather than life management. If it's time I lack, you know what I do? See if this is anybody in this room. I know it is. I work on managing my time and squeezing more stuff in my day. Am I right? And this is why this perception has got to change. We got to go from realizing it's not time I lack, it's life I lack. It's not time that's passing me by, it's life that's passing me by. And if we realize that, it changes everything. I work on squeezing more stuff in the hours of the day rather than valuing the moments I have. If it's time I lack, I tend to focus on the moment, the current, the day. I don't have time to think about the future, the next season, or the end. See, when I realize it's not time that I don't have enough of, but it's life I don't have enough, it changes everything. Now here's the meat. Here's the payoff. Here's the stuff that really matters. When I realize it's life I don't have enough of, I value the moments. How many of you would like some gold? Anybody? If I were doing handouts at the door today, how many of you would stick around a little bit of extra time just to get a little bit of gold? How many? Okay, I'm sorry, but that was pretend. But absolutely we would. Why? Because gold is valuable, isn't it? You know why gold is valuable? Because it's scarce. You know what makes gold even more valuable? I didn't realize this till recently when I began to do a little digging into, if you can pardon the pun, digging into gold. Gold, one of the things that makes gold more valuable is how much gold is still coming out of the earth. When it's a lot more gold coming out of the earth, gold tends to be less valuable. When it's little gold coming out of the earth, gold tends to be more valuable. Do you know with your life, listen to me, you only have a limited supply, right? It's valuable. Cherish the moments. Right? When it's not time that I lack, but it's life that I lack, I cherish the moments. I value them. I value the experiences. Ruthie and I, yesterday, she got up and gave me a really hard time in the morning, and we laughed. The night before, I was asleep, sound asleep, and all of a sudden, I felt something twitching beside me. And it was my wife. And it was waking me up. It was the middle of the night, and she rolled over, and she's still twitching, and I'm thinking, either she's having a dream, or she's having a seizure. So I said her name really loudly. I said loud, and I didn't yell it, but I said it loud. I said, "Ruth, what are you doing?" Because this is my thinking. If she's having a dream, I'll wake her up. If she's having a seizure, I won't, and then I'll know, and then I can get up and help her. It made sense to me in the middle of the night when I was asleep. So I said, "Ruth, what are you doing?" And she sat up and rolled over and said, "I've got the hiccups." She got up in the morning. She said, what are you yelling at me for last night?" I couldn't do anything but just laugh. I said, "I thought you were having a seizure or asleep. I didn't know you were wide awake. I wouldn't have yelled if I'd have known you was awake." And there was a time in our lives, folks, listen, we're no different than you. It would have, when we were younger, it would have probably been a fight. "What do you mean I yelled at you?" I didn't yell at you. But we enjoyed the moment. Now listen to me. When you're living your life with the idea that I don't have enough time, that kind of stuff just frustrates you to death. I don't have time for this. I don't have time to have this conversation. But when you realize that what you have a lack of is life, years, all of a sudden you can enjoy the moments. Your kids ever annoy you? Either you're saying yes or you're lying. Right? You know what? Enjoy the moments. Right? "I don't have enough time." No, it's not time you don't have enough of. It's life you don't have enough of. Enjoy the moments. Let me tell you a second thing. This is the pay dirt of this. Enjoy the moments. But let me tell you the second thing. When you realize it's not time you lack, but it's life you lack. It's not time passing you by, but you passing by. I make different choices. I have different priorities. Let me ask you all a question. I'm absolutely serious about this. If you had a doctor's appointment, you went to see the doctor, and he looked at you and said, "You have 90 days to live. 90 days. It becomes really real very fast that life is passing you by, not time. 90 days. Are you going to make different choices and different priorities for the next 90 days than you would if that had never been said to you? Right? Because all of a sudden, some of the things that you thought were really important that you were trying to squeeze into your time now don't matter. They no longer are a priority. They're going to be pushed aside, and you're going to spend your life, the last 90 days of your life, doing the things that really matter. If you want to know whether you have a time perception or a life perception, ask yourself that question. What would change if you had 90 days? That right there is a hard question. What would change? What really matters? Listen to me. Only you can answer the question, what really matters in your life. And it'll be different for all of us a little bit. First time I ran across this idea, this concept, was a book I read many, many, many years ago. And I sat down, I don't even know, 15 years ago, and I made a list of these are the things in my life that really matter. Probably 20 years ago, I did this for the first time. And you know what popped up on my list? My relationship with my wife. My relationship with my God. My relationship with my kids. 20 years ago, actually, on my list was taking care of my mom to the best of my ability. Didn't know where I would be today, where I am really her caretaker in many ways. What really matters in your life, that, listen to me, it's going to be a little different for you than me, and only you can answer it, but it really matters. I love my wife dearly. If she ever listens to these podcasts, I'm going to be in so much trouble. My wife is an incredibly good housekeeper. She keeps a house like nobody you've ever seen in your life. She's always been that way. When she was, this is no joke, when she was 16 and we were just dating, okay, just dating, I would go pick her up from work and bring her home. Her boyfriend, as she lived with her mom, bring her back to her mom's. Her boyfriend is there, and she would clean her mom's house at midnight with me sitting on the couch. But there came a point in our life and in our marriage where I had to say to her, Ruthie, I really, really appreciate your house being as clean as it is, or our house now being as clean as it is. I like that. I'm very much that way too, although if you looked at my garage, you would know that, but just ignore that, Joe, right? You get that. But I said, more than I value your spotless house is I value time with you. So would you clean a little less and let's make a little more time for us to spend time together. And my wife is so great. She said, yeah, if that really matters to you, sure, I will do that. Now listen to me. If you come to my house, it's still clean. It's still spotless. It's still swept. It's still picked up. It's still dusted. The dishes are still away. But you know what she said to me? This is what she said to me. If we're going to do that, would then you please take your dishes and put them in the dishwasher for me? Yeah, she's no dummy. I said, you know what? I will do that. What is your perception? Is it a time perception or is it a life perception? Because if it's a life perception, what you make a priority is going to be different. Because if it's a time perception, you're going to get squeezed into your 24 hours. Laundry, vacuuming, studying. You're going to squeeze in different things than if you've got 90 days left to live. You all still with me this morning? What really matters? Only you can answer that. But let me give you this. I believe God really just kind of dropped this in my heart this morning as I was going over my notes. Do you know there's some things you can only do before eternity? You can't do them after eternity? Did you know that? You ever think about that? There's some things you cannot do in eternity. I don't mean sin things. Scripture teaches us this, that unless a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God, right? John, Jesus, and Nicodemus. Unless a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Can I just tell you this morning? Once you get into eternity, you will never, ever, ever again have an opportunity to influence your kids, your grandkids, your spouse, your neighbor, the children that you care for, or the teenagers that you care for, or the adults that you care for as servants of God. You're never going to have the opportunity in eternity to influence them to be born again. Do you understand what I'm saying? That person that you think I'm going to witness to, I'm going to talk to about Jesus, I'm going to live out my Christian faith before tomorrow, when your life runs out, you will never have that chance again. When you step into eternity, your opportunity ends. How do we set our priorities? Listen to me, friends. Everybody in this place has to pay the bills. Everybody in this room has to work a job. Everybody in this world desires to have better for themselves and their family, and there's nothing wrong with those things, and there's got to be some balance. But I'm going to tell you, when I step out of time into eternity, the amount of money I have in my savings account isn't going to matter. Whether my kids love Jesus and are in eternity with me is. Whether my grandkids are in eternity with me is. Whether my brothers are in eternity is. whether the people on the west side of Indianapolis, and I believe this to be true, God has ordained somebody, certain people, I believe God has called me, not as a pastor, but as a Christian, God has called me to reach them for the kingdom of God. And once I step into eternity, I will never have that chance again. Every one of you have the same calling on your life, to serve somebody. Those are things you can't do once eternity happens. So what's your priorities? And it all comes down to, how do I see the world? Do I perceive it through time, or do I perceive it through life? Let me give you two last things. I'm going to bring this to a close this morning. If I see life through, or if I see the world through the perception of life and not time, if I realize it's not time passing, but it's my life passing, if I realize it's not that I don't have enough time, it's that I don't have enough life, the things I talked about, I'm going to enjoy the moments, I'm going to set some priorities, I'm going to make some things most important. A piece of that is you're going to make some people mad. When you set priorities based on life, you're going to make some people mad. They're not going to understand. You need to be ready for that, and you need to just make the decision, I'm going to do the right thing regardless of what everybody else thinks. But another thing that I'm going to do is, I'm going to do everything in my power to gain as much life as I can. Y'all love me? Do you really? Promise? Cross your fingers? All that? I'm a meddle for a minute. Okay, yeah, you love me now, but maybe not later. If you notice, when I pulled in this morning, I parked my truck pointed that way, and I parked it right out next to the last row, in case I have to get out of here fast. I really did park out there. Not for this reason. So let me meddle. If I am looking at life, or I'm looking at the world around me through the perception of my life is passing rather than time is passing, I'm going to do everything I can to gain years on my life. Does that make sense? Right? Are you doing things in the today? Are you living lifestyles in the moment? Are you making choices in the here and now that are going to cost you years over here at the end? Do you understand what I'm saying? Say, Pastor Barry, what are you talking about? How far do you want to go with it? Are you letting an addiction work in your life? My best friend, growing up through high school, spent almost every day with this man. About 2 years ago, was diagnosed with throat cancer. Gone through radiation, gone through chemotherapy. I see him, it's sad, it's one of those relationships. I see him at funerals. And I saw him at my wife's brother's funeral here just 6-8 months ago. Gone through chemo, gone through radiation, doing well. But this is the thing about my friend. He spent his whole life, or at least a large portion of it, chewing tobacco. Nothing better than a good dip of skull. Pre-Jesus, I did the same thing. Post-Jesus, I got convicted of it and fought through the battle and put it aside. Are you making choices? Are you making decisions? Are you giving into things in the here and now that's going to steal years from the back end of your life? Say, Pastor Bray, that's not fair. What about ice cream? Okay, that's a fair question. God forbid I should ever say we shouldn't eat ice cream. But I'm going to tell you what, if you're eating or my eating, it's not just, we can talk about the addiction, we can talk about tobacco, we can talk about alcohol, we can talk about drugs, but it's a lifestyle. Are you living a lifestyle, regardless of what it is, that's going to cost you years on the end? We could talk about workaholicism. I don't know if that's a word or not, but I made this mistake in my 30s because I didn't make good choices in my 20s, and I decided I'm going to go back to school and I'm going to work a full-time job and I'm going to pastor a church. And then I decide, Pastor Rick, just because I didn't have enough to do, I'm going to be a youth pastor as well. And for a long time, I was a youth pastor, a senior pastor, worked a 40-plus hour week, and went to college and slept about 3 or 4 hours a day. And it took a toll after 4 years. Was that God's plan? In hindsight, probably not. I suspect it's cost me years off the end of my life somewhere along the way. You all didn't know this, didn't realize this, probably didn't know it till now, but when you got me as your pastor, you received somebody come in and exhausted beyond imagination. I'm so glad Pastor Duke and I, we went through a year of transition. It was nice to know that he was still there for that year, exhausted. It's taken me 3 or 4 years just to get back to a place. I've talked a bit about the depression I've struggled with over the years, and a big piece of that is a consequence of what I did in those early years. And I'm saying to you this morning, if you really see existence through the lens and the perception of life, then do everything in your power. Live by principles, godly principles now, in a way that you can gain as many years as possible on the end. Right? I'm not saying that because I hate you, I'm angry with you, I'm disappointed in you. You know why I'm saying that? Because I love you guys. And trust me when I say to you, it's not just me standing up here on the platform looking down my nose at you and saying, you all need to do better like I do. Trust me, I still have my challenges, and I've lived those challenges, and some I've overcome. And I still, you know, I beat the chewing tobacco many, many years ago. But I'm going to tell you the truth, I still really, really like to eat. And pecan pie, Jan, it is the best. And listen to me, I'm not telling you should never have a slice of pecan pie, but you probably shouldn't have two. I parked out there for a reason. I'm not telling you shouldn't eat ice cream, but, you know, I eat the healthy ice cream now, and I run so I can eat ice cream. Ruthie says, are you really going to go eat that? I'm like, yeah, I just ran 2 miles, so I can eat this. Come on now. I'm not telling you shouldn't enjoy your life, enjoy the moments. I'm not telling you those things, but I'm saying we need to live life with a perception that says it's not about time is passing me by, but my life is passing, and do everything in your power to the best of your ability, and realize it is a process. It is a journey. You will have to work at this your whole existence, your whole time on this earth, but do everything in your power to add as many years as possible and as God will allow you, because none of us know when we're going to hit the end. We just don't know. And the last thing, the very, very last thing I'm going to say to you, if I could get the worship team to come, that last thing I want to give, the last pay dirt I want to offer you and I want to throw out there is this. Please, my friends, get this. Make absolutely sure. Know this. Prepare for your time past time, beyond time, without time. You understand what I'm saying? Every one of you is going to hit a point in your life where it's going to end, and you're going to step into the place where there is no longer any decay. There is no longer life to death. You're going to step into eternity. Let me put it this way. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 17. I started this message out with it this morning. I said in my heart, God will judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time for every matter and for every work. And I'm going to end with this thought. I'm going to ask you, y'all, I'll just look at me for just a moment, please. Have you prepared your heart for that time after time? Do you understand what I'm saying this morning? Have you prepared your heart for the time when time no longer exists? Have you asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins and to be your Savior? That truth right there might be the most important one you hear all day, all week, all month, all year. Right? It's not time that's passing me. It's life. I want to show you, actually, you know what, Christine, never mind. We're going to skip that last piece, okay? Can I ask you to stand this morning? It's about 10 minutes till. And this is what we're going to do. I talked earlier about expectations. And we've made a choice. I've made a choice. And I believe you all understand it and I believe support it. We're going to have a little bit of time with God at the end of our service. That song at the beginning, his catchphrase was, don't blink. Because time will pass you by, it'll be gone. Don't blink. I'm going to flip that around this morning, and I'm going to say something to you. Somebody in this room needs to blink. You need to blink, and you need to get off of the I don't have enough time merry-go-round that is destroying you and your life. And you need to step back and pull back and sit down and prayerfully think through what really matters to me and get on the I only have so much time and I'm going to use it well train. Do you understand what I'm saying? Get on the my life will come to an end and I want every day to matter train. Get on the everybody's not going to like it and everybody's not going to understand it, but I'm going to make the most important things train. Those principles I talked about, some of you need to work through them. Some of you are destroying your life at the end because of what's going on in your life in the moment. And God wants to challenge you about that, and He wants to set you free from that, and He wants to change that. And maybe, listen to me, just maybe this morning there's somebody in this room that you've never gotten around to actually making sure your heart is right with God in the moment so that when eternity comes, you're right then. This is the altar call this morning. This team's going to begin to lead us into the presence of God one more time. And if you don't feel a need to respond, that's fine. Will you just worship God for a few minutes? But if you do, if the Holy Spirit is pulling on your heart about something this morning, this is the altar call. And it's simple. Will you come? Will you bow a knee? Will you spend a moment with Jesus? Will you be honest with Him and transparent and say, God, I need a change in my perspective. God, I need a change in my priorities. God, I need You to set me free. God, I need You to help me to be more self-controlled. God, I need You to step into my life and help me because I realize my life is passing me by and I want to make a difference. I want it to matter. Maybe you're here this morning and the real thing that you need to do is come and bow a knee and simply say this, say, Jesus, I want to make sure when time is done and my life is gone that I'm in the right place. Forgive me for my sins. Live in my heart. I'm not perfect, but will You help me? That's the altar call. How's that? If that doesn't hit about everybody in this place, I don't even know what will, but I believe the Holy Spirit's speaking to somebody this morning and you need to respond. Let's begin to worship. Will you all worship with me? Can we just give God praise for another 5 minutes, 10 minutes? And then I promise you, get out of here and go find the buffet. But God might want to do something in the next 10 minutes. Let's worship Him together. The altars are open. Will you come? Will you come? Will you come? Come and find a place. Find a moment. Find some time with Jesus this morning. Those at the altar, there's no rush to leave the altar at all. I'm going to pray and let you slip out this morning. You know, I've learned something over the years that everything God does, He doesn't do just for those at the altar. Trust me when I tell you, the pastors appreciate those that respond. You're our lifeblood. We know that God is getting through, but I also know some of you that didn't come to the altar, the Holy Spirit is speaking to this morning. And that's just as real and just as valid as what God's doing and did here. So don't push it aside and don't ignore it. This, every preacher would like to think this about every message, but I'm going to tell you, those last handful of truths are not the kind of things that you need to forget about by 12:30. They go much deeper than that. not because I spoke them, but because God has them for somebody in this room today. Your life, you will be the 102-year-old person one day, or the 82-year-old person one day, who stands up and looks back and says, where in the world did it all go? I was thinking, Pastor Rick, this morning, one of the sermons I preached, Pastor Rick let me preach one Sunday morning, and I can remember asking the question, where will you be in 10 years to the congregation? And I remember, Gloria, the looks on the faces of some, and several, a couple said, not here. Paul Ludwig is no longer here. It's terrible. I forget names so quickly. See, I get old. Not here anymore, are they? There's more than one. You will be that person. Say, Pastor Barry, you're bringing me down. No. I'm not meaning to bring you down. I'm meaning to wake you up. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, thank you for stirring hearts. God, thank you so much that you love us so much that you push on those sensitive places. Thank you for caring about us. And I pray this morning as we leave this room, you not leave us. I pray this morning as we leave this room, your Holy Spirit will be incessant, constant, dealing with us, not letting us forget, causing us to contemplate, to think, to pray, and God above all else to change. I pray give your people wisdom. I pray give them self-control. I pray, God, give them blessing. Give them strength as they choose to live their life aware that it is quickly passing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless y'all. Love you.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you're looking for a church home or are interested in what God is doing through Souls Harbor, visit us at www.soulsharborag.com. If you have an encouraging story of what God has done in your life through these podcasts, please share it with us at sharbor@indy.rr.com.